Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Kind of Funny podcast. I am your host, Joey Noel, and today I have three wonderful special guests. We get to do our annual Kind of Honeys podcast. Today we have one, Genevieve Saint-Ange-Miller.
Hello.
Hello. I know. It's like, it's all mirrored and can't tell where I am. We have Paula Coelho. Also,
hey guys.
Misdirected because I don't know how my arms work. And one, Geotap Harris.
I think I'm down here.
Yeah, this is the easy one. Hello.
Hi. I'm used to being like looking up at people because I'm so short.
So it all works out.
Yeah.
This is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around these podcast microphones, really close to just accidentally muting myself there, to talk about whatever we feel like talking about. If you want to support the show, you can do so by going to youtube.com/kindoffunny to listen to us, or you can be extra cool and you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, throw us a couple bucks and get our shows over there. You can get them ad free. You can ask us questions, and you get to be part of the Patreon exclusive post show, which we may or may not actually do for this show. We'll figure that out when we get there. This week we are brought to you by HBO Max and Rooster Teeth's The Last Laugh Season 2 and our Patreon producers, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Steve Powers, and the Destiny 2 Kind of Funny PC Clan. I made it. I just had to get through all of it at once. Otherwise, there was no way I was ever getting back to it.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. This is so fun because I feel like in these quarantine times, we all haven't gotten a chance to like hang out pretty much at all, considering what we used to be able to do. I think last week at Shang-Chi was like the first time we had all been able to see each other in quite some time.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. What's new with everybody these days? Anybody have anything exciting going on?
Not much.
Fun? Just growing a human child over there?
Making a person out of frame?
We do have some questions in the show about some of that coming up later. I'm going to start. I pulled quite a few questions from our lovely Patreon supporters. And then Paula had some questions for me. So we're just going to jump right in because I feel like this is has some good possible pregnancy tangents for Jen to pop in on. So this
as
is from
the expert on the matter today.
As the expert. This is from Jordan Deev and says, what weird food things do you do that you swear by? I have two in particular. The first is a peanut butter and cinnamon toast crunch sandwich, which sounds great. Peanut butter sandwich, you put some cinnamon toast crunch on top and then you eat it like that. And then the other one is that he makes tortillas with cream cheese, but you put the cream cheese on the tortilla and then you put it on the stove so it melts a little bit. And then you like roll up the tortilla. It sounds kind of good. I've never once thought to do that. But do you guys have any like weird food things that you're really into?
Well, first of all, those two things definitely sound like pregnancy snacks. So this person should take a test.
Maybe. Jordan, do you have something to tell us? I'm trying to think if I have any weird ones.
Joey, you
no, go for it.
Well, I have one that I swear by that I don't think is weird at all, but that Tim is super grossed out by. So all of you know like ramen eggs, the eggs that... So I love ramen eggs, and I figured out how to replicate it without soaking them in some ramen broth because I don't often have that on hand. So I like soft boil eggs, peel them, and then marinate them overnight in mirin and soy sauce. And then I think they're delicious, but they turn this like very nasty brown color. And so they sit in my fridge for, a week as I work my way through the batch. And, Tim is so grossed out by these.
At which point, do you feel like you're crossing the threshold of should I eat this or not?
Yeah.
Well, they look.
How do you know?
Okay. I mean, soft boiled, like you can eat them for like 4 or 5 days. Well, I have been fine, but they look immediately rancid because they look like brown.
You're like, my eyes are telling me that this is something I should not eat.
Yeah. But
we meal prep a lot, and there's always a point around like Wednesday, Thursday that you're like, should I eat this?
Like, was it always this slimy, or is this like a new thing that it's grown into?
Yeah. I don't know if they have a weird thing. I mean, obviously, I've been eating nonstop because it's like this visceral feeling that you have when you're just building a person. But none of it has been weird. Oh, I should have sent Barrett maybe a photo. There is a point where at the beginning when we weren't like 100% sure, I took a photo. It's like it was a pickle wrapped in a slice of ham, which technically you're not supposed to eat, I guess, but I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
And a slice of Swiss cheese and the world's most disappointing hot dog, you know? So it was the weirdest thing I did, but otherwise it's been pretty.
That sounds like something normal. Nick would eat.
Yeah. It was very like keto.
Very keto.
Keto would eat that.
Exactly.
Also, like really quick, is this what kind of like the boiled eggs? Except, like?
So yes, but the thing that really grosses Tim out too is I like them like really gelatinous in the middle. You know, so it's like this looks pretty cooked, more like a not quite a soft, not quite a hard, but I like it on the gooier side.
Oh, so it's like more orange and like drippy.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a fascinating snack. I never would think to make ramen eggs as a snack.
It's so efficient, though. It's like pure protein. And then you're
doing delicious.
This is what I made. It looks like a, I don't know if the,
it's not like we can see. You might have to put your hand behind it.
Oh.
Like a beauty influencer. Oh. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've
that
seen
looks
Nick.
So funny.
I've seen Nick eat that for sure.
Oh yeah, that is the best consistency for an egg yolk.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
See, delicious. I like that for an egg yolk if I'm gonna eat it right away. Like if it's like a soft boiled egg with breakfast, or if it's like a what's the breakfast food that I can't think of?
Egg Benedict.
Eggs Benedict. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But if I was gonna, I feel like the fact that it being cold might change, might not make it be my texture.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I vouch for it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. One of these days, I'm going to come over to watch Bachelor or something. Just open your fridge and I'm just going to try one.
Do it. Well, they also sit in like a Ziploc bag in like bra. They look really gross.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What about you, Paula?
I don't know if I eat anything that weird. I guess when I'm really hungover, I always want tomato juice with a little bit of lemon juice. And Kevin says it's really weird and gross.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I don't know. It's what I want every time I'm really hungover. Like, I want a lot of it.
Oh, maybe makes me want to have a Bloody Mary. I want to.
I don't like Bloody Marys, though. I just like tomato.
Really?
Yeah.
That's even more interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not a big tomato juice person. That's one of those things that I want to like. I want to like tomato juice. I want to like Bloody Marys because they always look so good whenever anybody gets one. But they don't do it for me. The weird food things that I swear by. This is maybe not so weird. I don't know. But every once in a while, I get in the mood where I'm like, I want boxed mac and cheese. And always put a can of tuna in it, though. And that is the part that kind of weirds people out. Like, the mac and cheese part seems to be universally accepted, except for Andy. But canned tuna does make it weird because I don't really like canned tuna otherwise. I think it's just one of those, like, things that I had, like, as a kid every once in a while. And I thought it was cool because we never had. Mac and cheese is always like a special thing we got to have.
My
mom was like, please, we have to have something other than just like boxed cheese.
We gotta eat some protein.
I feel like there's some like Hawaiian macaroni salad that is kind of that combo. Like, they sneak tuna into, which the tuna freaks me out. I like tuna separately, but the textures together for me don't quite.
I've never had it before, but the smell, I can't do it.
I feel you because I don't like the smell either. I got mad at
Kevin one time. I was like, if you are going to make that, you have to like clean it up right after because I can't handle it.
Yeah. It is one of those foods that tastes better than it smells. Even though they're
I believe you
because
people
similar.
Eat it. But...
Yeah. As a big fan of sardines. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same. It smells horrendous, but it's delicious.
Oh my gosh.
I love sardines.
I don't know that I've ever had a sardine. Now that I like think about it,
I'll have you try some.
I guess it's like in a Caesar salad dressing, right? Would be like the
anchovy.
Oh, that's anchovy. So then, what do people put you do with sardines?
Oh, you eat them with crackers.
Literally,
just straight up.
Yeah,
just a little baby fish on a cracker.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, I'm willing to try it for sure, but
perfect.
I don't know how it seems
stuck for you.
Perfect. I know. I feel like growing up as a kid, like sardines and anchovies were like those foods, kind of like Brussels sprouts, where it's like, ugh, those foods are gross. But then as you like grow up, you're like, oh no, they're like good. And I don't know why we were conditioned to like hate these.
I don't know. It sounds like a pop culture thing, like you're saying, right? Like broccoli is disgusting and Brussels sprouts are disgusting. And
yeah,
my dad kept the pantry stocked up with cans of smoked oysters and
my sardines. Dad did too.
Really?
Ooh. Which is, I
don't know where so that good. Comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I haven't had a smoked oyster in a really long time.
They're super good, but it's so hard to, because they come in those little tins and they are really stinky and it's hard to dispose of them. Like your whole house smells like drippy smoked oyster oil for like.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no, this is my hell.
Yeah, it sinks into the wall. Because I imagine
I totally believe people that seafood's good, but I've never eaten it. I became vegetarian before I ever tried it. And then like, I think the smell, like it feels just so weird to me or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Your body's like, you're going to get poisoned if you eat this.
Yeah, that's what it smells like, though.
The natural response is just, nope, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this at all. Okay, let's see. What else do we want to do? Chance Carter wrote in and said, I thought it'd be fun to have Greg and Jen run us through some baby items that they're excited to use before Mini Greg appears. Then later, what items they couldn't actually live without when Greg and Jen return in the new year. I feel like this is a good way to talk about some baby things. I want to hear about some of the fun things that you got. You guys just did your baby moon and like nesting period last week. So I feel like you've probably set up some stuff.
Yeah. We took some time off to go through the list. We literally have just a Google Doc of itemized things that we've been pushing off because work has been super busy on both ends. And we did a registry, which during a pandemic, it's been our friend's way of connecting like really strongly with us. And I had never thought of doing a registry in my whole life before. So it was also weird putting together. Bless Andrea for sort of setting the scene because I didn't know what to put on there. But yeah, we had got so many things and it was incredible. And now I'm like, how do I use this? And what is the purpose of that? And I know Andrea like really swears by this. So I'm just going in blind. I don't know. What am I most excited to use? I heard really mixed things about the diaper pail. Some people are like, why bother? Just use your trash can. And I'm like, it looks kind of cool. I don't know. It is human waste. Do I want to put that in the regular trash can, even though it's a baby, you know?
Yeah.
The stroller, because goddamn, those things are expensive.
Are they really?
It's outrageous. The minute I Googled it to start looking into it.
$1,000?
Yeah. It's so bad. But then apparently there's a really good resale market, so we'll see.
Because, I guess you wouldn't use them for, like, that long necessarily, like, based on size?
I don't know.
Do you buy them based on size? Is that things work?
You buy one and then you swap out sort of the accessories, so, like, the seat itself. And then I know ours can be transformed into a two-seater. So, like, if we have a second child, it can be, like, a toddler and a baby in whichever order. Yeah, they're trying, you know, to make it useful and not so wasteful. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we end up being really like swearing by, or because right now I'm folding newborn clothes and I'm like, this makes no sense. First of all, how big is this child? Like, will he fit in 0-3 month old clothing or 3-6? And sizing in baby clothing is very arbitrary, like it is in any other kind of clothing items. So it's like, okay, cool. And then my mom brought stuff from Canada, and apparently Canadian babies are way smaller than American babies. So like there's size discrepancies. And so I'm a little overwhelmed about clothing. I think I'm just gonna wing it, see how big he is, and I don't know, figure it out.
Go from there.
How do babies work? Yeah, I don't know.
Right. I know. I remember with Andrea, she was saying that like a lot of, they got a lot of stuff that was like the 0 to 3 month, but like you don't actually wear that for that long. So they got like winter stuff and she was like, oh, Charlie's never gonna wear this. She's gonna grow out of it by the time she gets,
exactly,
the time it gets to that like type of weather.
That's what my sister-in-law said too. She wanted clothes for like when she's like 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because they grow so fast too. You're like, okay, well, I guess we wore this for a week and what's next?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, if you want to start like having children, let me know because we got so much stuff. Let's just keep donating it internally.
Yeah. Just pass it on to the next person and then cycle it back and all that kind of stuff. Are you, so now you're in like the, what Greg refers to as the splash zone, correct?
Both so gross. An accurate and a disgusting description of the 9th month. But then last night we took our first childbirth class. We're a little late. Don't worry about it. We did infant care first and then childbirth. And then apparently your water breaking is not that dramatic. It's not like in the movies. It's not like an explosion and you ruin your shoes. First, there will be a mucus plug that comes out and gives you a little warning. You guys, it's nice.
Well, I wish that they had called it literally anything other than that. That is such like a visceral term and like mental picture.
Oh, it's not great. Yeah. There's a lot of very graphic shit that happens when you're pregnant. And you're cool, this is nothing I've ever heard about before. And I don't know why everyone's just keeping those secrets. Because if people knew, I feel like there would be way fewer pregnancies in the world. Would be way better off.
It's like, we're keeping this secret until you can't really do anything
about
it. And you are fully committed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Have we set up like a baby pool to figure out like to take bets on when baby Miller will arrive?
We should, because no one has any idea. I mean, there's like the estimated due date, which is October 7th, but there's truly no way to tell. I was a preemie. Greg was a preemie. Baby pool.
I know. It is interesting to talk about because I feel like a lot of my friends were either gave birth like really like 2 or 3 weeks early or like 2 weeks late.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I know anybody that was like super right on their
date. I was right on time.
Oh, so,
which is shocking because I'm always like 30 minutes late to everything. But yeah, my mom went into labor like June 5th and I was born June 6th. And my due date was June 5th.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
I guess I've never asked my mom. Like my parents, it like, was I on time? Was I early? Was I late?
And then this is how they tell you, oh, you're adopted.
My gosh, can you imagine?
We kept this information from you. You never asked.
32 years later, they're like, we think you're ready to be able to accept that information. And I would be like, oh, maybe I could have like worked through this earlier. Because now would be okay, babybookie.com. I'm gonna start this after we're done.
Let's and
we're
go. Gonna start.
If we can find a name too, that would be great. Like I'm running out of time there.
Oh, man.
Still in the discussion phase for
we have a list.
Egon, Venkman, Miller,
Clark, Kent, Connor. No, we have a full list of names. I think we're just waiting to meet him and see what he looks like and if anything sticks.
Yeah.
But this is a classic. It feels like a classic game dev story where you start building a video game and then you have a prototype name and then you use the prototype, which is Small Greg. So like you just use this name the whole production time and then you get to the end where you're like, well, the marketing team wants to find a name. And then the whole team's like, well, here's the prototype name. And then you just end up with a prototype name because everybody loves it.
Small Miller is pretty cute.
Small is the first name.
I like it.
It's going to be really foxy for Veronica. Like, oh, he's going to be so big. I know. I guess that's the other one. I know that the boys were talking earlier in the week about like, at what point does baby Miller like get taller than Nick? And that's the betting pool that Nick wants to figure out. Like, what age is it that he's just gonna shoot straight up and just bypass Uncle Nick?
Yeah. High school, Nick, for sure.
Nick will have a chip on his shoulder about that forever moving forward, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh my God. At which point will he want to wrestle Kevin is my question.
Ooh. I mean, I feel like Kevin's going to plant that seed real early.
He's going to just whisper into his ear one day, you and I, when you're 10 years old, it's going down. And then he's going to live with a threat of fighting Kevin.
We're
going
to be somewhere like RTX, what is it, 2027, 2028. And Kevin's just going to powerbomb him into the pool. And that's going to be the start of it. Just all of these kind of funny kids playing chicken with mom and dads in the pool. It's gonna be cute. It's gonna be real cute. M Frit from Patreon wants to know, what was the biggest high school scandal slash drama that you remember happening? Which I love, because I feel like there's always one, and it might not even have been while you were in high school, but it was like you heard from an older sibling or a friend of like, or even at a neighboring one, and like the gossip always trickles down to you. I remember it was like my senior year of high school. It must have been my senior year, senior or junior year, because I had my license, and we were driving because we could drive finally, and somebody had a Halloween party. So we went to the Halloween party. It was really fun. There was a hypnotist. Is that what? I guess that's a hypnotizer.
The guy who hypnotizes you.
Exactly. And that was, the first time I had ever seen anything like that. And I thought it was, super wild and couldn't tell if my friends were just, fucking with everybody or if they were really hypnotized and they wouldn't tell us after. And it was really frustrating. But we left, fairly early. And then, the after party, happened. And there was always rumors that people from, the neighboring high school came and, crashed the party and, brought so much booze and stuff like that. And, whatever girl had the party at her house, her parents weren't home. And then there was always this rumor that somebody brought a gun. Who knows if this was actually true or if it was just some weird dumb drama that somebody started and everybody was running from the cops. And now looking at the time, it felt like the realest and oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And of course it was people from that high school because they hated us and we hated them. But now looking back, I'm this seems some dumb shit that somebody just started. That everybody who was left got in on the secret. But I'm not actually sure if that happened.
Yeah. High school rivalries are very interesting.
Yeah.
Is it like that in Canada? Like, is there this tribalism that there is?
Yeah.
I never know of is it just weird United States stuff?
Teenagers are just weird in general.
Mm-hmm. High school didn't really have one of those. Or if they did, nobody cared.
Yeah.
I have a scandal that just came to me. So I went to an arts high school.
Me too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so weird that we've never talked about that. What was your art?
They had a program called Envision. So you could do dance, theater, or art, painting or drawing and stuff.
Ours was Fame, where you had to audition for a specific track. And so I was in the writing.
Yeah, you did have to audition if you wanted to actually get into it. Yeah.
Got it. That's cool.
Yeah. But you could be normal too.
Got it. Okay. So even our academic classes, everyone was artists. So a lot of times teachers would say we've all read Toni Morrison's Beloved. And for your book report, there's an academic component. And then you also have to, act out a scene or write a poem inspired by, the literature. So we had read Toni Morrison's Beloved, and I wrote a poem, and someone else did an interpretive dance. And then this girl pulls out her her assignment, and it is this giant canvas. And the teacher is holding it up with her hands, bare hands. And she's like, okay, I'll redact the name, but okay, walk us through what you did. And the girl says, this is representing the violence of, the antebellum South or whatever. And is going through, the details of this book. And she says, and this is blood. And so the teacher's nodding her head and she's like, yeah, so it's actual blood. And the teacher is just like, ah.
It was a biohazard.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Full blown. She had, I'm going to get graphic just for 1 second. She had like smeared a used tampon.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
All over this canvas as part of her book report assignment, which is definitely a commitment to
art.
To art. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's one that you have to give like a full warning for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like,
where is she now? What does she do?
I don't know, actually. Never followed up. But what was cool is like I was actually in that class. So even it was a rumor, but I was there. It was that really happened.
It actually happened.
It actually happened. And it was horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I do have one. I just realized.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I took the bus home from school, like a lot of people, and this one bus driver, I don't know why, but kids were like mean to her, kind of. Mm-hmm. That she was like a little bit older and they would like to yell jokes at her. And I don't even remember what they were, honestly. But one day she just got so pissed off that she just parked the bus and wouldn't move it.
My God, it was just holding students captive.
Yeah, we were like a block away from.
Well, if I is a hostage situation.
It did though. The police came.
Really?
Oh my God, yeah. Crazy.
So she like parked it like a block away from where she was supposed to drop us off, but wouldn't let anybody off, wouldn't open the doors. And things got like, you know, kids got really mad and stuff and were like, you know, yelling, let us out. And she wouldn't say anything. She just sat there and she was like, no. No. And eventually the police came and she opened the doors and that was that. But then the rumors were just like what you said, Joey, like the rumors went nuts. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well she had a gun or like she was threatening kids and none of that happened.
Trying to kidnap us.
This poor lady, I think just like.
Had a meltdown.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt bad for her. Yeah.
She's like, I can't take it anymore. All these kids, yeah. Like they just need to sit.
Yeah. And I was on the bus. And so I like, you know, saw it, but like, you know, there was nothing like violent happening at all. It was just weird.
She just like put you all in bus timeout.
Yep, that's all. And my mom was like waiting for me at the drop-off spot. She just couldn't care less. She was like,
I guess
the other moms were like mad and my mom was like, I really don't care. Like this lady probably has a good reason. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom's like, they probably were being brats.
They probably did deserve it.
Yep.
So funny. Speaking of more high school things, if all of Kind of Funny and obviously Significant Others had been in high school together at the same time, do you think you guys would have been friends? And what do you think your relationships would have been like? This is from Cozy Bear. And I find this most interesting, obviously, in like your like dynamics with like your significant others. Like what high school versions of you guys would have been like in tandem with your significant others in high school?
I don't know if Greg and I would have been a thing because I was like a really late bloomer and he sounded extreme. So I think I would have stayed away from him and been really like standoffish. Like
he was like too loud then for Jen.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine him in high school. It must have been chaos even more than now. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think we would have been friends.
I 100% think this foursome here would have been friends.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. If all of you are the same-ish people you are today in high school, we would have been friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I was that different in high school. Because, like, I went to an all-girls high school, so we didn't really have, like, traditional cliques. Like, everyone kind of – and, like, also it was really small. Like, I graduated of one of 112 girls. So, like – there's just not that many people. Like, you can't really have a ton of beef with people because you're all in classes and you all have so much overlap anyways. But, like, I remember having, like, two main groups of friends. But, like, on any given day, we, like, sat with one or the other. And, like, everyone kind of did that in different overlapping ways. So I feel like...
Yeah.
I would have had, like, different groups, but I could see you guys easily being part of either of those.
I think I would have hung out with Barrett because I was hanging out with the punk group and the people who were taking care of the radio station in the hall.
Ooh.
So like not all the – so I don't know if you had that. I was trying to explain that to Greg the other day, but they let students sort of put music on between classes. Mm-hmm. We don't have the concept of a homeroom in Quebec.
Mm.
So in between classes, you just sort of hang out in the hallway and then – it's, which I don't know, it's weirder or not than having a homeroom. But anyway, so like,
I watch Radio Free Roscoe, which was based in Canada. I have some like touchstone. I love that
that's
this.
Your point of reference. yeah, I was hanging out with the emo and the punk rock kids, and I was dating like a guy with pink hair for six months. It was a big deal.
Oh my gosh.
That's like being married in high school.
I know. Right. And we broke up right before prom. Yeah.
The drama.
And I insisted on still going together, and obviously it sucked.
Oh man.
Let go. You gotta break up and let go. Yeah. But honestly, yeah, I think Garrett and I would have hung out.
You have more fun at prom if you just go with like a friend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause then there's like this weird social pressure of like,
Cause you're like what, 17 and in a ball gown or something. Like weird.
Everyone's sweaty. The food is weird.
So sweaty. I didn't go to prom. I was out of town for both of my proms. Cause it was always right around spring break. And at that point I always went with like my church on like a trip to Mexico. And so I like miss, I went to all the other dances, but like was so not attached to going to prom. And now I like kind of regret not going because it always seemed fun. And like I missed like a touchstone of high school. Mm. But then we got to relive it a couple years ago. So
yeah,
I'm not as bummed anymore. I'm like, oh, and this is probably way more fun. Like the group of people that we did Kind of Funny prom with and like people in high school that I don't talk to anymore.
We had Smash Mouth. Who's the best?
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. If you're here, you probably love video games, but sometimes we have to face the cold, hard truth. We can't game all the time. Sometimes we gotta kick back and watch some movies and some TV too. So it's a good thing HBO Max is here to save the day with all of your favorite DC content. HBO Max has an expansive superhero collection to feed your fandom. Greg Miller is stoked, of course. They've got Wonder Woman. They got Justice League, Stargirl, Batwoman, HBO Shazam, Suicide Squad. The list goes on, of course. Plus the streaming platform lets you download your favorite titles and take them with you on the go. All the bingeable collections handpicked by humans, not robots. Personally, I've been enjoying a whole bunch of different things over on HBO. I love all the day and date releases. We know we got The Matrix now coming out in December. That's really exciting to look forward to. We got Malignant. I'm about to watch that this weekend. Check out some of the best superhero content and so much more only on HBO Max. Get streaming today by going to hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. That's hbom.ax/kindoffunnydc. Next up, shout out to Rooster Teeth's Last Laugh Season 2. I was a huge fan of Season 1, mainly because my boy Alfredo was in it. But Season 2, can't wait for it. Here's the whole pitch for it. Do not laugh. It's part game show, part social experiment, 100% evil laugh challenge, spectacular. Last Laugh returns for a second season with 12 contestants gathered for 6 hours to see who literally laughs last. If they laugh, smile, or smirk, they're eliminated and prevented from dethroning Season 1 champion, the homie Blaine Gibson. The host of the show, Jeff Ramsey and Elise Willems. So that's super awesome. They have a new collection of surprises, but will they be enough to break the contestants? We'll have to find out. Last Laugh Season 2 debuts September 9th on Rooster Teeth, but you can catch up on all of Season 1 right now.
Gia, Paula, any thoughts on high school versions of you and significant others or just us?
Tim and I talk about it a lot because we both grew up in San Francisco. So it was like very much a reality that we could have. I mean, we probably were at the same dances or parties, or we definitely had mutual friends. And absolutely not. We would not have dated. We would not. we were very different speeds. And Tim was like very much a square, even up until I met him.
The pure one.
Yeah, the pure one. And I was, I mean, I was the principal's daughter. Like, my dad was my high school principal. So I was
both like the hottest thing and also the scariest thing.
Yeah.
High risk, high reward.
Like, boys were very scared of me at high school. There was always like freshman Friday or, you know, those like prank days. There was always like a price on my head to like, you know, hit me with water balloons or.
Oh my God. I have no idea what this is, but I'm very intrigued by this.
Yeah. I didn't have that.
Yeah, I don't know. but I was definitely, so I was like very, like I was a very good student. I was very much a teacher's pet in school, but like I had like, I was kind of had a wild streak on weekends. And I think Tim and I would not have meshed. Paula?
You know, I really like flew under the radar in high school. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say like I was just like a nerd. I just like was invisible, kind of. Like, I didn't have like, I don't know. I had friends, like, but not like that many of them. And like, and I didn't really even keep up with anyone in high school when I left. I never moved back to San Diego. So I don't know. I kind of don't think me and Kevin would have dated, because I think he was pretty out there in high school, like very talkative. Teachers always getting mad at him for talking too much. And I would like say nothing all day. So I could see that not happening.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. Like, I think since like high school is over, in like the last 2 years, I've talked to maybe like two, maybe even last 4 years, I've talked to two people from high school, and it was like a weird random Instagram thing. Or like, I was one of my old roommates when I lived in Orange County had like a cabin in Big Bear, and one of my closest friends from high school lives in Big Bear. So like, I met up with her for coffee like one time I was up there. But like, in terms of like day-to-day stuff, like, I didn't really keep up with like a ton of high school friends.
Yeah. High school was not like the glory days for me, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no FOMO. I'm like, I don't want to relive those days. I'm like, it was like a thing that happened, and I didn't keep in touch with anyone either. But I know people who have kept friends from those days, and I'm like, that's so impressive to me, because I feel like I moved a lot, and I also, my personality sort of evolved a lot throughout the years. And again, I was such a late bloomer that it's kind of like day and night. I think I finally developed a personality. I was like 21, which is like super sad to think about.
I
feel like
that too. I was very much like late bloomer, not even interested in boys till like the later part of high school, you know.
Yeah.
Grew up later, I feel.
Yeah, which happens, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I wasn't really me until like college. And I feel like that was really more of my time of like, ooh, freedom, like all senses of the words and stuff like that. But it's always funny to me when I log on to Facebook and I see like people I went to high school and their bridal parties are all people we also went to high school with. I'm like, dang, that's like kind of impressive that you guys have been able to like stay connected for so long.
Because
I'm just also not so great at that either.
I have a lot of high school. I mean, I think because I still live in San Francisco. And I probably have like four very, very good, strong friendships from high school. I don't have a clique though. Like, it's like one-on-one friendships.
It's not like that, those four people and you were all friends.
No, not necessarily. I mean, they're like friends, but I have really close one-on-one friendships with a handful of people, and most of them are still here. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really good. But I was like, I feel like I was born with this personality. I've like been the same person from like day one.
I love that. It took me so long to figure myself out.
Yeah, me too.
I really admire the fact that you owned your personality from day one.
And actually, I think Tim did too. I think Tim was born like just the way. Yeah, I think we're both very old souls, or, you know, sort of.
Yeah, Tim's pretty much been the same since I've done it.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
There are aspects of myself that I definitely feel have like always been the same, but I think I like didn't fully like embrace them maybe until college. Like, I always think about like in elementary school, we did like a talent show and there was this one girl in our friend group who was really bossy, and I didn't really like her, but everybody else did. So we were in the same friend group, and like my best friend Brittany came to our school like that year, and because she was like the new girl, everyone was like, ooh, who's the new girl? She's exciting and new, because we've all gone to school together for so long. And so for the talent show, she wanted to do like a scene from the musical Annie, because she was super obsessed with it when we were little. And the other girl was like, okay, well, you're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be this. And she was like, and you're going to be this person. I don't even remember who. And I was like, I don't really like that you told me what to do, so I'm not going to do that. And so I like bowed out of that whole thing and was like, I want to be the MC for the talent show. And I think my teacher was like, I don't think that's like really a thing, but I guess you could if you wanted to. So that's just what I did. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I have always kind of been myself in just different forms at different ages.
Well, you're MCing today. So I feel like
I've been practicing since fourth grade. Just for today. Oh my gosh. Let's see, what do we have next on the list? What's the first trip you want to take once travel is safe again? Do you have a place that you've been eyeing to go to for these last 18 months?
Oh my God, the time vortex.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I have two. There's the obvious boring one that's like, I want to go home because I haven't been home in 18 months.
Yeah.
And then I really want to take Greg one day to Hawaii because he's never been. And I think it's like a close enough. And yeah. I know like travel to Hawaii has been very
controversial.
Controversial, which like I'm super conscious of, but I think he would, I don't know. I think he would enjoy some tropical times.
I love Hawaii. I think that that's a great idea. And hopefully, yeah. because it's United States. Yeah. And like, hopefully once everything, all of this stuff is done and they don't feel as like invaded by people yeah. moving there and yeah. stuff. It'll be,
I can't imagine right now because everybody's having the same thought of, well, it's a close enough destination and it's the United States and we're all going to go there. And
yeah,
I want to give it some time. And obviously we're not going to travel with a baby for a really long time. So I say that and I'm like, how early? I'm just actively Googling how early can a newborn fly? Totally. I'm like, the Game Awards are in December. And I want Jeff Keighley to like put him in a baby Bjorn and be the world premiere, you know?
So. Oh my gosh. That'd yeah. be amazing. Gia, do you have anywhere on your list?
Well, right before COVID exploded, we did like our kind of dream trip, or I did my dream trip and dragged Tim along, which was to Prague.
Oh, that's right.
Which had been on my list forever because of my favorite author. And so that was really meaningful. And I kind of crossed it off the list and I haven't really thought of what's next, but we're eager to go somewhere, like
yeah.
even if it's drivable, like even if it's Carmel or Palm Springs or something, and just like, I think we're thinking maybe February, just take a week off and unplug.
Yeah,
very much looking forward to it.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah we want a pool or hot tub. Yeah, and no work,
alone time.
Yeah.
It should be. I feel like we can make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paula, where are you feeling?
I've always wanted to go to Egypt. Ooh. It's not safe though, even if it wasn't for COVID. But we've also been talking about Greece. I really want to go to Greece.
Greece is cool.
Yeah.
Greece yeah. is 100% on my list. I want to go live my best Mamma Mia life on some Greek island and just beautiful. Sing a lot of ABBA while I'm there, while you I'm laying to. On yeah. the coast, drinking some sort of cocktail. I also really want to go to Croatia, so I'm hoping yeah. that maybe I could rope those two together because they're not yeah. that far.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Dude, it's maybe crazy how close
Italy.
All those destinations are like, compared to yeah. America. It's like when we went to our last trip other than Canada right before COVID was London and Paris. And I think, Gia, that's when you went to Prague, right? In mm-hmm. that November timeframe, December.
Yeah.
And I was casually Googling flights for the Sahara Desert. And I'm like, this is just a 3-hour flight from London. Easy peasy. And yeah. Greg was like, we are not going to the desert. This is not a destination we planned for. And I'm like, they speak French. It's going to be fine. I'll get us around. And it didn't work out. It's fine.
But yeah, that's like a mind. That seems like a totally different shift versus yeah. like if you're just hopping around Europe.
Then 3 hours. It's like Chicago's further out.
It's true.
For real.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'll always be sad that like when I went to Fiji, like one summer in between like my junior and senior year of college, that I didn't go to like Australia or anything because I was like balancing it. But like at that point, it's not like I had like a huge amount of disposable income and I was like, oh, this is going to be too much. Like, yeah. I don't think I can do this. But I'm like, dang it, I'll never be as close like any so other far. Time it's like, oh, I have to do that long ass plane ride again, and
it's so far.
It would have just been easier yeah. just to do it then.
Ironically, that was my first flight ever my whole life. I did Montreal Vancouver Sydney.
Oh my gosh, it's like
a 23 hour journey, so I ripped my plane Band-Aid with the worst possible flight.
I guess you figured out that you were or were not like claustrophobic.
Exactly. And I would have had no option even if I had been. It was with my family. So, because we have like an uncle that lives there with his family. So,
that sounds fun. Yeah. Australia also on my list.
It's beautiful.
It seems really fun, but also lots of scary bugs.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about all the spiders.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you could give advice to your younger self, kind of backing back towards the high school stuff, what would you say? Do you have anything you've learned that you wish you would have learned earlier or like could have reassured your earlier self?
Yeah.
Lots of things, Jen.
Oh my god. I don't know if I would like myself if I met myself right now from like
I don't think I would either.
Yeah. It's just like, can you just sit down and relax for a minute or stop stressing about everything and nobody cares. Stop like hyper focusing on what other people think. And also go out there and try things. You know, because I was it's like I was limiting myself with my own set of boundaries and I wasn't sort of pushing. I wasn't trying to get out there and discover who I was as actively as I should have been. I was just sort of like self-wallowing and I was a very edgy, sad kid. And I'm like, for what? You know, my family was doing fine. We were like very low middle class, but we were fine. You know, I never missed out on anything. I was doing okay in school. So I'm like, literally, like, just stop complaining. Just
like you're your own worst enemy kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like, come on, stop whining about everything and just do something, you know? Stop listening to Papa Roach. Go out there. Get out there.
There's only so much you can be like disenchanted by. Yeah.
Which caveat, we went to Vacaville the other day because they have the outlets over there. Ooh. And then the whole time we listened to Papa Roach because they're from Vacaville.
Are they really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I feel like I always thought I knew the like NorCal bands, but
yeah. And Papa it is Roach such a suburb. Been, like, a step
past mine. I wouldn't have expected someone that like from someone that doesn't listen to Papa Roach that seemed so hardcore to be from Vacaville, which is like the most suburby suburb of all time. Paula, what would you say to your younger self?
I think I'd say to stop worrying so much if people like you and kind of stop and check yourself and make sure you actually like them in terms of like friends and I mean, even old relationships. Like I felt like I really wanted people to like me or like this friend group. I felt like I had to be a part of this friend group or whatever. And then kind of later I'd be like, I don't have anything in common with these people at all.
And Paula, you and I would have.
Yeah, I think we might have hung out. Sad emo introverts.
Oh my God. We would have cried so much and watched so many like horror movies together. And yep.
I watched a lot of horror movies with my mom when I was
I had a huge phase where like I struggled so much I didn't have that many friends, and so I became best friends with the it wasn't a Blockbuster but you know like the video store guy. Mm-hmm. And so I would just come in and rent out a bunch of cassettes or DVDs, and then he would be like, probably this kid's not doing too well.
That is a concerning stack of movies you're checking out all at the
all
same time.
All horror movies. Actually, and
I think that's another thing I'd say is like, you're going to go through phases where you don't have a million friends. And that's okay. Because I think I always had it in my head, like everyone else has a million friends. Like there's something wrong with me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why do I have like these two right now? You know?
Exactly.
And so I think I tell myself that's normal.
Yeah. Totally agree there.
What would I tell my younger self? I feel like I just always was in a hurry to like get to the next thing of like in high school or in junior high. I just always wanted to be in high school. In high school, I always wanted to be in college. And like when I was in college, I was like, oh, I can't wait to be out of college and like have freedom, not have a job and like money and not have to go to class, bullshit classes that I didn't care about. And then I think I had like kind of a startling discovery when I got outside of college where it's like, oh, like there's not a thing that I'm supposed to do next. Like necessarily. Like, I could do a lot of things, but there's not one thing, because it's not like that school pipeline where it's like all kind of decided for you. And so then I was just like, oh no, now I have to decide what I want to do. And I like didn't have like a great idea of what that was. And it like kind of took me a long time to figure that out. But I feel like I didn't take advantage of like enjoying the things that in the time that I was like in them. I was just always trying to hurry through things. So yeah. Like, I feel like I have like some, I don't, not bad memories, but I have, my memory is bad from those time periods because I like didn't care and I was just like trying to hurry through things. So I feel like I just would be like, you can just slow, you can just enjoy this. Like, you don't have to try and like grow up and like get to the next thing so quickly.
Yeah, I was doing that a lot too. I was like never really enjoying the moment, mm-hmm. which I think is a weird thing.
Because now what's gonna come.
Yeah. And then now I don't, sometimes I'm like, I do not remember anything from the ages of 12 to 14 because I was always focused on what the next thing is, right?
Yeah. For sure.
I don't like this therapy session, you guys.
I know. No. You're also existential. Exactly. I actually think about this a lot because I have a sister who's 7 years younger. And so I'm often giving her advice, thinking about myself 7 years ago and what I wish I would have heard. But the thing that comes to mind is not deep at all, but I would have told, and maybe I can make it a metaphor, but I would have said, like, don't invest in fast fashion.
Ooh.
Like,
I like that.
And I think as a metaphor too, of like, invest in like meaningful, good, long lasting things. Clothes or relationships or otherwise, and like don't worry about like the trendy cheap thing, because you're going to end up spending so much money or so much energy on that stuff, and
I know, out of fashion in like 2 months, so
and it's better to invest in like, I don't know, a good coat or something.
Yeah. I totally feel you. It's like and now especially I think like with fashion stuff, I look back and I'm like, why did I wear that? Like, this was not something that was built for me. Like, this is not something I look good in, but I just thought that it was trendy, so I needed to like have it. I'm like, I should have just not gotten caught up in that.
Yeah.
Same. Not every fast fashion thing is like, actually most of them are not for like every body type too.
And, oh my God. Yeah. We went through the low rise phase. Which I cannot.
Over my dead body, will I allow that to become modernized again? I feel like we all just need to band together.
I'm
gonna boycott it. Oh my God. Like, as an elder millennial, that's what I'm going to call myself.
As someone with an oversized ass, I'm like,
yeah. We've done this. We can tell you it's not worth it. You think it's worth it, and it's just really not.
I'm a little bit flimsy on the skinny jean thing, just because for a year of not wearing skinny jeans, then trying them on, I'm like, this is fucking awful. They're so tight. I don't know.
I haven't worn pants in 8 months, so
right.
I will say I do love my skinny jeans, so I might, but I also feel like I held on to bootcut jeans for way longer than was maybe fashionably appropriate, but I liked them at the time. And now I look back and I had ones with like rhinestones on them. I'm like, that maybe was not a great call.
I really like those Cheer Religion ones with the rhinestones on the pocket.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
How do you feel about flared jeans coming back?
Kind of into it.
Yeah.
I like a boot cut ones. Or a wide leg.
Yeah, I don't think flared is right for like my body type, but they do look cute on a lot of people.
Yeah
I might just stick with my skinny jeans.
I don't we'll know see if what I'm happens ever going back. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going back to jeans, honestly.
Fair.
I want the thing that I don't, that I'm like kind of want to get back into, is gaucho pants, because I fucking loved those. Yes. They were so comfortable, and they were so like
comfy.
And like, I have short legs, so they probably don't work, but they were just so comfortable. Like, maybe that's the type of wide leg pant I need to re-embrace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more gauchos loose, are in.
Pants in general.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll. Well, it's also San Francisco, so I'm like, do I ever want that much of my leg showing, because it's just cold. So that, I feel like that has also changed my fashion. Now I feel like it's more functional than fashionable. It's like, I had to retire all of my dresses and I was sad because I like a good dress. But then I go to my parents this week and it was 104 degrees. I was like, oh, this is terrible. I don't know if I could live in that either. How do you explain what your husband does to strangers?
Oh my God.
I feel like you with new jobs or new living spaces and you meet neighbors, you have to try and explain that. What's your go-to?
Most of our neighbors are on the older side. So I'm like, he's like, granted, like, I never want to position him as like a YouTuber because like some that comes with a negative perception and I don't want them to think that he's, you know, just like this crazy Logan Paul. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, he's like kind of a news anchor for video games on the internet. And then they're like doing the mental gymnastics around me trying not to say poor YouTuber. So yeah, that's how I pitch him to people.
My favorite is when I haven't told them what Tim does, but like I'll have to share some weird detail that is like completely incongruous with my life. Like my company, my team, I work in marketing and we were looking into radio ads and we were talking about like, okay, what's our budget to get this recorded? And I was like, oh, I mean, we could do it kind of scrappy. Like, I was like, I know a lot of voice actors and I've got professional recording equipment and everyone's like, wait, what? And I was just like rattling off like all these resources I had. And I was like, oh, they don't know I have this like secret life with him.
Oh my God. Where you're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies every night. Yeah. All that kind of stuff.
We gave our neighbor's kids two of the Nabisco suitcases that Greg got as a sponsorship for the Nutter Butters. And they thought we were the coolest people because they look like actual spy suitcases. And I think there's something like 6 and 4 years old, and then they accidentally locked one of the suitcases and their mom is she is a superhero. She went through every single combination, which is,
my gosh,
there are 3 numbers and they all go up to 9. And it took her like 2 weeks, but she cracked it. And then they finally got to use the suitcases. they're like, why do you have these spy suitcases? Or the giant octopus mascot that Greg had a while back. You know, it's like they're trying to put it together and it's not very clear.
Yeah. Especially when they're like so specifically branded.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is not something that you can like just readily get commercially.
No, exactly.
Paula, how do you try to explain what Kevin does?
Poorly, mostly. For like older people, I'll say like he's the tech guy for a talk show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
But my grandma thought he was in a boy band and I just said sure because I didn't want to.
For Boy Orgy, that's the name of the band.
Someone showed her that clip, so that is what she thinks he is. And rather than explain like that he's in a talk show but it's not actually on the television and it's not actually for the news and they talk about video games, which is something else she doesn't understand because my grandma, she doesn't even watch television unless it's the news. She doesn't she hasn't gone to the movie theaters in 20 years. Like, she doesn't watch that stuff at all. So I was like, I think it's easier if I just say, yeah, he's in a band.
Kind of funny, kind of qualifies as a boy band.
There's a lot more musicality to it than you would expect.
And he's carrying everyone, but it's funny.
Nick has his like weird little keyboard that he plays sometimes, and it's only just the Beverly Hills Cop theme song. That's the only thing he knows. So I guess that does qualify as like some sort of band.
Yeah. It was cool though, back when I like started at 2K, someone asked what he did and I said, oh, he's part of this startup called Kind of Funny, and they fully knew what he was. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like the first time I don't have to like crappily explain what he does. This is really cool.
It is always fun, yeah, when somebody has like some remote idea. It must have been like a couple summers ago, I was helping bartend at like a family friend wedding, and there was like a couple other like people that were like I had tangentially known who were doing it with me, and one of the guys was like, so what do you do? Because we're just sitting there like 3 hours early before this wedding. I was like, oh, well, I work at a production company that does like podcasts and YouTube stuff, mostly around gaming. And he was like, oh, what do you call? And I was like, Kind of Funny. He's like, I don't know who it is. I was like, do you dabble in this space? Like, do you know anything about it? He's like, oh yeah, like I play games and stuff like that. And I was like, do you watch like YouTubers or podcasters or streamers? And he was like, yeah. So we finally boiled down that he knew who Achievement Hunter was. And I was like, perfect. We're like partnered with Rooster Teeth, who you don't know owns Achievement Hunter, but like they do. But it's just funny to get like the very consumer side of things where it's like, oh, they don't know about all the background stuff. So I was like explaining that like, oh yeah, like we had Jeff and Michael on shows. And then he was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I was like, yes, I've won over this like 23-year-old guy who I'm never going to see again. But at least you think I'm cool for the duration of this wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there anything surprising that you found yourself doing during quarantine? By surprising, I mean something that those close to you would be surprised to learn about. My example is that I started playing Madden off and on as sort of a season training for the fan-controlled football league, which has surprised many people in my life. By Rafferty on Patreon. Thank you. Did you guys pick up any quarantine habits or that's not the right word, activities? Anything fun?
I guess just cooking. I never cooked ever before quarantine, really. Like, just, I don't know. I worked a lot and I worked not at home. So, you know.
You had like crazy commutes and stuff like that too.
Yes. Yeah. So I started doing HelloFresh and then I kind of started cooking more on my own. And I like it. It's a lot of work, to be honest, but I do like it. And I like that it's a lot cheaper than like ordering in, because if it was up to Kevin, he would order 3 meals a day, honestly. So I kind of was like, this is unhealthy and it's too much money, so we're gonna cook, or I'm gonna cook more. And yeah, it's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think I was kind of in the same boat last year where I was like, okay, well, now that I have, now I don't have an excuse not to cook, because before it was like, oh, I'm getting home late or XYZ thing that I could like justify. But now that we're all just stuck in a house together for an unknown amount of months, it was like, well, if I'm ever gonna do more things and be more experimental, this should be the time. And yeah, I'm with you of like HelloFresh has been really nice, of just consistently like having something that arrives that I know is going to be, and I don't really have to think about that much, because I sometimes get overwhelmed by the process of like figuring out even like going through recipes, just because there's just an endless amount of them on the internet. It's like, how do you even narrow down what you want to make?
Yeah.
So by like finding specific people whose recipes I like, shout out to Half Baked Harvest, which is like one of my favorites. She's so good.
You showed them to me. Yeah.
And then Molly Baz too from Bon Appetit. Too salty. Has some fun stuff.
Yeah.
Too salty.
I like her, but you have to half the salt with Molly Bass.
All of her merch is about salt.
It's like way too salty. But I do like her.
So also, I just remembered, I guess playing chess. Like I play chess online every day. Nice. I always liked it when I played with my dad, but you know, I realized like, oh duh, it's 2021. I can just play on an app now.
I've heard that you're very good at chess. Is that true?
I'm not. I'm like average at very best, but
you would probably
like
beat all of us.
Yeah.
I don't think I even know how to play chess.
If you ask Blessing, Paula is, you know, Paula is the big brain when it comes to chess. And whenever he brings it up, he sounds so defeated about the time you two play chess, which is always fun.
I love that.
Oh, really? Again, then he would probably win. If I never play him again, then I'm the champion. So.
That's the Nick perspective. Like, well, just go out on top and then you can retire. Hold it over him forever.
Am I allowed to pull the pregnancy card and go to the bathroom? Because I have to pee all the time.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely.
Great, perfect. Thanks, everybody. Real time.
Gia, have you picked up anything over quarantine?
I mean, I think it's just leaning in harder to the things I like, nothing surprising, like cooking even more, but I already, you know, tried to prioritize cooking and reading even more, watching Housewives even more. But Tim has gotten into like, I've gotten him hooked on some reality shows, which feels like huge for me.
Win.
He's so into them.
So into them. Like, we truly will find ourselves like in heated discussions for hours about these contestants and like these housewives. And it's disturbing, like how invested we are. Like, we lose sleep when there's like shit going down in Beverly Hills or whatever. So
I love it.
I'm always really impressed with you and your cooking because you never, you like rarely make the same recipe twice. Yeah. And like, that is very opposite. Like, I feel like I find the recipes I like and then I'm like, okay, perfect. I'll add this to the rotation. And I just like make the same kind of things over and over again until I find a new thing that I like. So I'm always really impressed that you just like experiment so much.
I think for me, I don't have that much creative outlets, like, you know, in my day to day. And so cooking is one of those things that it's one of the only times I'm truly creative, even if I'm following a recipe, like it's a little more tactile than anything else I do. And like, so I try to mix it up to keep that like innovation feeling.
Yeah.
It's cool. I definitely can't do it without a recipe. Like well, maybe I'm just not good enough yet. I don't know. But I just like, I stick to it like very specifically.
I feel like it's sort of as you get used to cooking with a recipe, then you realize like, oh, like I have to substitute this thing. Like you sort of get a little more like fast and loose with the recipe. And then it evolves over time to where you can go completely off book. But it just starts with like modifying recipes, at least for me.
I see.
Yeah. For me, it's always like, shoot, I'm out of this thing.
Yeah.
What else do I have in my house that I can use? Because, I feel like even with HelloFresh, sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to candy the peanuts to put on top. Like, I don't care enough about this meal to go through that extra step. So I'll start like cutting things and like, I'll throw this in there and like try and like repurpose them. I feel like there are like a few things that I just like know to like anytime I'm doing like a basic like protein and a starch and a veggie, I can just kind of like change up a few ingredients. So I don't necessarily need recipes for those, but other than that, I feel like I'm with Paula where I'm like a recipe follower for the most part. The other thing that I feel like I did over quarantine was more reading. And that's partially because Gia convinced me to join Book of the Month, which I am a big fan of because they just, I feel like they curate like a really good like selection of 5 books for you to pick from. And usually 2 out of the 5, I'm automatically not going to be into because it's some sort of like fantasy or like historical fiction, which are like not my jam. So then that usually leaves me like some sort of memoir-y or thriller or like kind of throwaway rom-com that end up being good. So I'm excited. I have so many books that I haven't read that I've gotten from Book of the Month over the past year, but I like that I'm reading more. So
I have a pile of shame. I start and then I put it aside and then I just forget about it and I buy a new one and then the cycle just repeats itself. I don't think I've finished a book in years, which is a status thing because it's something I admire from Gia. A lot as well, your capacity to
love it. Yeah. I'm going for 100 books this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm at, I don't know, 65 maybe.
Holy shit.
So I'm like a couple behind where I should be tracking, but I'm like very close to being on track.
Do you have like a carved out time to read?
So pre-COVID, my time was on my commute because I took the train. And so I would have like 45 minutes or so each way. And so I would be able to go through about a book a week easy just from that. It's been harder to – I have to dedicate specific time. So I definitely have like Saturday and Sunday mornings. Tim sleeps in a lot of the time. So I'm able to just like focus for 2-3 hours. And then evenings also just because Tim will stay up later than me. So like I'll like – climb into bed with a book for an hour or two.
That's great. I feel like that's the only way I would be able to set time aside is like really make sure I can block it in my schedule.
Yeah. I feel like I am really bad about doing it like in my everyday life, but anytime I go like visit my parents, because it's like it throws you out of your schedule. It's like, I can sit down and like read a whole book on a Saturday, like if I'm outside, like on their porch.
Or anytime I get on a plane.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh my God, planes were my reading time.
Yeah. No more. I would definitely, when I did my long like commute, I would have audiobooks on all the time too. I really like them.
I haven't really given audiobooks a shot because I feel like car time is always like catch up on podcast time.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I need to, I'm never going to catch up on podcasts. And that was something that I finally came to terms with over quarantine was like, well, I'm not in the car, so I'm not listening to any of these and they're all stacking up. So now I just delete them and I don't feel guilty about them when I don't listen to them. So maybe I'll, once I, I'm trying to find like smaller podcasts where it's like dedicated stories like Dr. Death and Dirty John and stuff like that, and get back to more of those. So I feel like that's inching me closer to the audiobook that I'll get to whenever I have a commute again.
Have you listened to Extra Spicy from Soleil Ho?
No,
it's
but
really
I
really good. But I mean, it's very
she's a chef, right? Oh. Yeah,
he's the Chronicles food critic,
and who was like putting together games. The big like where how to support different restaurants during the pandemic. Yeah, yeah, right?
And then she loves games, which is hilarious because sometimes she'll drop like name drop video games in her food podcast, so and everybody else is like. She's like, no, this is really good. I think for a while she played a lot of Animal Crossing.
Ooh.
I think there's like, it's a weird crossover. I want to be her friend so bad. She has no idea who I am, but she's like the coolest person.
I'm subbing to it right now because I've been looking, because I really liked the Bon Appetit podcast.
Yeah.
And then I stopped listening to it when they got kind of outed for being not super great. So I've been looking for... Not really, but I've been like, I need that hole filled. Yeah. So
the day she followed me on Twitter, I almost died. And I was like, oh, no. I have nothing relevant to tweet that will be interesting to you. This is
the best and worst thing at the same time.
But I was aggressively liking her tweet. So at some point she must have been like, what the fuck? Who is this person?
I know. And since you're verified, it pops probably for her every single time. She's like, who is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's been so fun to catch up with everybody. Yeah. That hour just flew right by.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So thanks everybody for listening and for tuning in and for all of your support in January, which is what this podcast is brought to you by. Maybe next time we do this, I'm sure we'll have lots of new life updates by this time next year. And a whole child. Tiny new human to add to the cast. I know. Jen, if people want to keep up with you and all of your adventures, where can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Twitter, mostly shitposting all the time at Gangster, which is a username I should reconsider now that I'm 33 years old, but it's the one I have everywhere and I feel like the effort is not really worth the change. And then that's it, that's the main place, that's the I think
Instagram.
Instagram, same at places. Yeah, just Google Gangster. The only place I don't have the handle is on Xbox. My gamer tag. Greg was horrified to realize that I did not have a gamer tag for my entire gaming career. Because I was not really an Xbox user. So, yeah, somebody else owns the Gangster. Two R's.
Friend request from Gangster on Xbox. Not me. It's not Jen. Paula, where can everybody keep up with you?
I hardly ever tweet, but I do have a Twitter. And both that and Instagram are PaulaDraws24. Also a username I should reconsider because I only post animations, not really drawings.
Yeah, you should change it to Paula Animates.
Yeah.
Love it.
I post on Instagram, but I'm bad at Twitter.
It's a lot to have to do both.
Yeah.
Gia, where can people find you?
I am Gia Tap Harris at Gia Tap Harris, Twitter and Instagram. Don't use either as much as I want to, but occasional. And then I didn't get it on Snapchat, so I'm Lil Spoon 415.
How often do you use your Snapchat, G?
Once every like 4 years.
I love it.
Are you still doing TikToks, though? That's the most important question.
Oh, that's true.
I've only done 5 TikToks ever, but I plan to return.
Perfect. I'm a big fan of your content.
The tease of the potential content in the future is really what it's worth.
I think that's also Gia Tap Harris, probably. Tim insists branding across, you know, consistent branding across all of the things. So.
That makes sense. And then I'm Joey Noel on everything. It's very easy. I'm lucky that I had the perfect timing where I had 88 in everything for so long. And I was like, I don't need 88. Like, I love my birth year, but like, that doesn't need to be part of my public branding. So I just managed to take it out before anybody else got Joey Noel. So except for somebody has it on Reddit, and that's annoying. Though it could be one of those things where it could be me and I just forgot that I have it and I don't know how to log into it. So Joey Noel 88 on Reddit. Annoying. But thanks so much. I know, right? Thanks so much to everybody for watching. We'll see you next week.